Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alonzarek Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Yeah, it might be fantasy football season, and one of our analysts might be making a draft pick as we speak, but you know what? It's still fantasy baseball season, people, and we still love fantasy baseball, and it's the playoffs, and it's crunch time, and Scott White and Heath Cummings, let's do this.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I made my pick, Adam.
Oh, Scott made his fantasy football pick. Who'd you take?
I took Latavius Murray.
What a mistake. Over CJ Anderson.
Adam, he just took Latavius Murray in the second round.
Of a 16-team league. The second-to-last pick of a 16-team league.
That second round is way too early. Nobody
31 overall? That's not bad.
See, what complicates this is Heath. You know, I'm second-to-last pick of the round. Heath is last pick of the round. So I was trying to get in Heath's head and decide which of the two players I was debating between he wouldn't pick. So maybe I could get both.
Well, I'm going to take a guy that's probably going to score more PPR fantasy points than all of them.
Uh-huh.
But we don't need to discuss any more fantasy football. It's fantasy baseball. I'm back. I'm so happy to be here. This is awesome.
Yeah. Now let's talk about, all right, so we have a fun show today. Start, sit, add, drop, all that stuff. But I got to say something here. Heath made such a mean, horrible, I don't know, was a careless decision yesterday. Why did you pick someone up in the podcast points league when we're in the playoffs and you're not in the playoffs? Why in the world did you do that? Major fantasy faux pas, Heath Cummings.
What?
Yeah, you picked, you're Alcides and Gong Fused, right?
Yes.
You picked up Ivan Nova.
What are you doing?
There's a couple of possibilities here.
Okay.
Number one is I was hacked. I think that's probably the most likely at this point.
Who hacked you, Chris Towers?
That seems, he would be my number one suspect. I think that's a good guess. And since you guessed him first, it sounds like he is the number one suspect. The more likely thing, I guess, is that I was traveling all day and doing a fantasy football event in Pittsburgh. And so I was trying to make acquisitions on my phone. And it could be that I tried to make an acquisition in the For the People podcast league and accidentally made one in the regular podcast league.
That could be. You know what?
On the app.
That was a big mistake. You had number one waiver wire priority. And I'll tell you what, I don't think Ivan Nova's that bad of an ad this week. It's the only reason I didn't add him. And I'm glad I didn't, because I would have been really mad at Heath if I had tried. It's because he's got this hamstring injury. So it's a little risky, but he's facing Milwaukee. He's walked one guy with the Pirates. I don't know. Could Ivan Nova win you a fantasy week?
Yeah, I'm thinking about him as a pickup. The fact that he left last start with a hamstring injury, I think, buys me a little more time to think about it. Because there's a chance he might not even make his next start.
Right.
It doesn't sound like a serious thing, but I was listening to Ray Searidge talk about some of the adjustments he's made with Nova, basically things like keeping his head still, just things to improve his overall command. Not that he's ever been a bad control pitcher, but now he's walking nobody. So I could see this becoming, I could see him becoming a useful pitcher, provided you don't care so much about strikeouts.
Yeah.
That he could be a useful pitcher for you down the stretch. I'd like to see how this next week goes, though.
Yeah, well, Ivan Nova, I mean, this is the type of thing you have to look for right now. It's crunch time. He just faced Milwaukee and through six innings gave up one run on three hits with no walks and four strikeouts, and that's his matchup this week. So I'm very much playing it week to week in a lot of situations, and that could be a sneaky guy. If you're in a daily league and you don't need to pick him up now and Nova's still available and you know that he's going to make that start, maybe that's something you look for. But we have a lot more to talk to here. Who were some of the more interesting ad drops that you guys made this weekend?
Heath, let me have him. Sorry. had a little fist pump there.
Oh, Scott White.
You got CJ Anderson?
He's not focused on fantasy baseball at all.
No, I am. I am very focused on fantasy baseball. I spent a lot more time on it than fantasy football this weekend. And one of the key observations of mine and inspired a couple moves was Brandon Finnegan, the way his last two starts have gone. I've been awfully critical of Brandon Finnegan, especially recently, but his last two starts, 20 strikeouts to four hits. And it just so happens that he introduced a changeup to his arsenal right around the same time. The third pitch that he was lacking, he picked it up from Dan Straley. And of those 12 strikeouts in his start Saturday, 9 of them came on the changeup. So it seems like that might be the key component he was missing. And suddenly very excited about him, especially since he's relief pitcher eligible.
Man, how the times have changed. There's a great Bob Dylan song, The Times They Are A-Changing.
Yeah.
And I think the last time that I was on the Fantasy Baseball podcast, Scott was yelling at me about Brandon Finnegan not actually being good.
But Scott was right. He was terrible with that week because he's been terrible until the last two starts.
It hasn't been that long since I was on the podcast, has it?
You know what?
Last time you mentioned him.
I think it's possible Heath actually did recommend Finnegan as a two-star guy for this past week.
Yeah.
If he didn't, if both of those starts did come.
No. He wasn't a two-star guy. He pitched on Friday.
Okay. So I think what happened was the two-start week, he was terrible in his first start of that week, and then he had these two good starts.
Yeah.
So as a two-star guy that week, he had one bad, one really good.
Okay.
Regardless.
But you didn't see the changeup coming.
I knew about it. He's from Kansas City. That they always tell them to wait until this point in their career to start using the changeup. He's just got one start this week though, right?
Yeah, it's at the Angels though.
See, I don't know if that's a good or a bad matchup for Finnegan because we talked about with Nova, it's okay if you don't care about strikeouts. You can't project Brandon Finnegan to have very many strikeouts against the Angels. I actually am in a very bad spot in our editorial league where I'm 100 points down and I dropped Brandon Finnegan for this week for two start Dylan G.
Yeah. That's getting pretty desperate, I think.
Oh, come on.
You're down by 100 points of the week to go.
Yeah,
you are desperate.
No, I'm understanding your move completely. And I don't know that I'm ready to start. If we're playing it week by week, I don't know that Finnegan's the guy to add anyway. I'd want to see one or two more.
Right.
Probably only have time to see one more.
Well, but here's the thing. You know, after Finnegan made that first really good start, when he had 14 swinging strikes and a great start against the Dodgers, they weren't sure if they were going to start him again because he's coming up on an innings limit here. And he did start again, and apparently he's in line to start this week at the Angels. I don't know how much run you got left in Brandon Finnegan.
That's a good point. I don't know either.
So, Heath, you are going with a two-star Dylan G when he is facing Gary Sanchez this week? That's two home runs in itself in that one start.
I've not seen how Gary Sanchez's power plays in Kauffman Stadium.
It'll play anywhere. He hit the ball out of Seattle. It will play anywhere. Gary Sanchez is just killing the ball.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and start Dylan G, though.
Okay. Big series this week, man. Yankees-Royals, it means something.
Both of them really right in the thick of the playoff race. Scott and Chris have been trolling me about how the Royals aren't really in it.
Because they
have to pass so many teams, which they don't really.
It's fewer now. It's fewer. They've passed a few of them already.
Yeah.
It's a three-way tie for being two spots out of the second wild card.
Between who?
Mariners, Astros, Royals.
Are all two games out.
The Yankees are certainly in that mix.
Yeah, the Yankees are only a half game behind them.
Yeah.
I think both the Royals and Yankees desperately need to win two out of three in this series.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big week. It's a big week and it's a fun week and baseball is awesome right now. I'll tell you somebody I was excited to pick up. Julio Urías. He gets the Padres this week. Boy, did I agonize whether or not to start him against the Cubs. Ultimately, I did, and he pitched very well. 6 innings, 1 run, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. So he's really hitting his stride, Urías. Of course, he doesn't throw 100 pitches. He doesn't throw more than 6 innings. But against the Padres, guys, I'm cool starting Urías.
I think that's okay. It depends how shallow your league is, because in probably standard 12-team head-to-head league, a one-start guy who's capped at six innings probably isn't the way you want to go, regardless of matchup.
No, I'm starting him in the podcast league.
No, that's, you know, that's your prerogative. I'm just saying, I'm not sure.
I would rather start him than the two guys we were just talking about possibly picking up, Finnegan or Dylan G, for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I had another a two-start guy that I think has a little better matchups, Matt Boyd.
Yes.
I'd probably rather start Ovi Urías.
I mean, the thing is, if you're talking about picking up a one-start pitcher, like your pitching staff is in such a state that you have to pick up a one-start guy this time of year,
yep,
you're probably in trouble.
Well, that, I mean, look, I think that's the reality, Scott. See, I disagree a little bit because I am facing that reality. And what I realized is, like, these are not necessarily championship caliber teams, but these are playoff caliber teams. And I just think that's kind of what you're looking at. I'm barely looking at hitting on the waiver wire right now. I see Jed Jerko. I did pick him up in our Roto League, but, you know, a guy like Jed Jerko, a guy like Keon Broxton, they're doing all these great things, and they're still out there on waivers in so many leagues.
What about the pitchers who got you there, Adam? That's what I'm saying.
They suck, why? Or they're hurt. Like, I can't start Drew Smyly at Boston. Jacob deGrom is, I guess I'm going to start him. I'm not really feeling great about that. I'm desperate for pitching, and I think a lot of people are desperate for pitching at this point.
But why would you go for a one-start Urías over a two-star Matt Boyd?
Because he wasn't available.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I would go with
play with some pretty aggressive company there.
I think it's pretty normal. I mean, how owned is Matt Boyd? He's got to be in the 60s, I think.
He might be right around 60.
I was able to find him in one league, and I did add him. There was a hitter that I added just because I've got one league where my shortstop position is just a catastrophe. And I picked up Tim Anderson. He's hitting the ball very well again. Still not walking at all, but he's got seven games this week, and so I thought he was worth an add. I think four of those are against the Twins.
Oh, yeah, I noticed he was doing very well. Also, we have a cool explanation for why Jose Abreu might be doing very well right now. Would you consider starting Tim Anderson over Xander Bogaerts?
No.
No.
Okay. We're going to play some starter sit with some high-end players in a little bit. Any other ad drops that were interesting for you guys?
Oh, probably. Points leagues, I think it's definitely time to pick up Hernan Perez. I'd been limiting his appeal to just Roto leagues, but, you know, he just keeps reaffirming this power, that he was not known to have, a two homer game Saturday. He's actually, since the All-Star break, I know because we were looking this up before the show. Since the All-Star break, he's the fourth best second baseman in points leagues, just gained second base eligibility. I imagine his ranking is even more impressive among outfielders. And also he's eligible at third base. So I think there's probably a way you can get him in your lineup.
Cool. Heath, anything for you?
No, I think that's pretty well it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was excited about Urías. I picked up Jerko in our Roto League. I don't know if I'm going to start him. Yeah, I'm not sure. But nice guy to have. Maybe some late season power. He's hitting well. I'll give you some other names that are out there and tell me how much interest you have in them. Luke Weaver, a very good start at Oakland or home against Oakland on Friday. He's at Milwaukee this week. Mike Foltynewicz had a very good start at San Francisco over the weekend. He's at Philadelphia this week. And these guys are pretty available, Weaver and Foltynewicz. How interested are you in those two?
I thought about picking them up in a Roto league where rosters are bigger. Actually, I did have Fulte already. I thought about picking up Weaver in the same league.
I think it's
and good. I just found players I like more. He's in the conversation.
Yeah, I'd rather have Fulte than Weaver just because that Milwaukee matchup I feel like is a lot better when they're on the road than it is in that park. Things can go bad in a hurry there.
Okay, Foltynewicz against the Phillies. Is that a start this week?
If you have to. In a Urías versus the Padres sort of way.
Yeah, I'd rather start Urías versus the Padres.
All right, how about these two deep league guys here? Actually, three. Andrew Triggs for the A's. He's been pretty good lately. Unfortunately, he has Boston at home this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably want to avoid. Brock Stewart. So five scoreless innings, two hits, eight strikeouts against the Cubs over the weekend on Sunday. And I looked at his minor league game log since my birthday, guys, in the minor league. Yeah, since my birthday, 45 innings, 36 hits, 5 walks and 47 strikeouts and only 11 earned runs. So Stewart was doing great things in the minors for the Dodgers.
Well, you don't even have to go back to your birthday. For the season in the minors, he has a 1.68 ERA, .86 whip, and 9.6 strikeouts per 9 innings. He has been incredible in the minors, which is why he keeps getting chances over even Jose De Leon. And I do like him in you know, kind of a general like him or not sense. Can't imagine I'm picking him up outside of especially deep leagues.
Okay. And finally, Robert Gazelman, who looks just like Jacob DeGrom from the back and pitched pretty well yesterday. It was against the Phillies. Now, he gave up 4 runs, but only allowed 1 run through 6, and then he struggled in the 7th. You know, he's got Washington. If he starts, Robert Gazelman, just throwing it out there.
Can you elaborate?
On?
He looks just like Jake Arrieta from the back.
No, Jacob DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom.
Did I say Arrieta?
Yes.
Jacob DeGrom from the back.
Okay. That makes a little... So he has long hair.
Yeah, but it falls like on his shoulders exactly the same way. It's very strange.
Okay.
Looking like Arrieta from the back. Actually, Arrieta's pretty distinct because he's, you know, like, he looks like he's wearing one of those fake, those t-shirts that have the fake muscles on them, except they're real.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is going over my head too.
Wait a second. You've never seen those shirts that make you look like you're ripped? They're like fake muscles?
Yes.
That's what Arrieta is, like, freaking jacked. He looks like he's got a muscle shirt on.
What, does everybody who has muscles look like they have a muscle shirt on?
No, his shirts are way too tight for him. He does it on purpose to impress the ladies, I'm convinced. Jake Arrieta's a show-off. With that.
It's a good thing Chris Sale doesn't have to wear that shirt.
Oh, he'd rip it off?
Yeah.
All right. That was good stuff. I'm telling you, people, if you need tickets to a game or a concert, if you want to see Jacob DeGrom or Jake Arrieta or Bruce Springsteen, you better use SeatGeek. It's the best app I've got on my phone. I love SeatGeek. I use it all the time to look for tickets because SeatGeek shows me the bargains and pulls in tickets from multiple sites. It does all the work for me. Now, the best part about it, our listeners get a $20 rebate on their first ticket purchase when they use our offer code FANTASY. The offer code, again, is FANTASY, all caps. Now, let's say I wanted to go to a Giants-Patriots game this coming Thursday. All right, I open up the app. I search for the Giants. The game comes up. SeatGeek shows me all of the available seats. It ranks them based on value. You can also sort by cost if you want the cheapest option. And I can see the view from my seat. I know exactly what I'm getting. I find something I like. I make the purchase. It's that simple. And then I can get $20 back. And here's how. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FANTASY. Again, FANTASY, all caps. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY. And I've been happy to tell you all what the promo code is on Twitter when you've needed it, so please feel free to ask. I'm there for you. Let's do some news and notes and some autocorrects. Pirates ace, starting pitcher Getting Cold, will miss at least one start due to elbow discomfort. I thought that was a pretty appropriate autocorrect for Gerrit Cole. Getting cold.
Yeah, he's already got cold, and now he's hurt. No, this is actually is kind of nice that they're, because we couldn't find any kind of explanation for why he was struggling. So I'm glad his elbow's uncomfortable.
I was in Pittsburgh this weekend with several of the local radio guys, and they all seemed relieved.
Yeah,
I'm glad there's an explanation. Is what they said.
We're of the same mind.
Same page, and I also decided that Pittsburgh is my favorite NL central city.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you been to them all?
All but one. I just assume that Cincinnati is not going to live up.
Oh, that's the only one I've been to.
I've been to St. Louis and Chicago, and I like them both very much. But you've been to Milwaukee, Heath?
Yeah. I went to a concert there, and then the next morning we went to some bar and watched football all day.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed Milwaukee. Milwaukee would be second or third in the NL Central as far as my favorite cities.
You got some quality cities in the NL Central.
Yeah, sure. I really like Pittsburgh.
Now you're trolling St. Louis. All right, so don't start Gerrit Cole getting cold. Stephen Brault will start in his place. Jose De Leon had a brilliant start at AAA on Sunday. You think he'll come up?
Flip a coin.
Okay.
I'd he's still one of my preferred minor leaguers to stash, but nothing may come of it if you don't feel like stashing a minor leaguer at all.
I feel like the Jose DeLeon Willie come up is like the Rich Hill Willie make his start this week.
Well, eventually it happened and it was very good.
Yeah.
Now, Jose Abreu has been hitting much better lately, and there might be an explanation. He has been reunited with his young son who had been in Cuba, and his son will be with him for maybe another week or so. It was a really good story, and you never know what's affecting them. And look, maybe it's just coincidental, but apparently he's happier now, which makes a lot of sense, and, you know, good for Jose Abreu. That's very nice to see. Milwaukee, going to get Junior Guerra back very soon. Could go to a six-man rotation when Guerra returns. Jacob deGrom needs to work on his release point. He will have his next start skipped. He's still in line to pitch this week. For now, would you guys start or sit deGrom? I think it's Washington this week.
I'd probably sit.
I think I'd start him. Hmm. But, you know, it depends on how risk-averse you are. It depends how upside-driven you are. I'm pretty upside-driven, generally speaking.
I am going to start Julio Urías over DeGrom in real life. But
your prerogative, Adam.
But
I want to do it.
I still have CeCe Sabathia and Taijuan Walker in my rotation.
Oh, gross.
Well, you know, Sabathia was...
So you're going to start both DeGrom and Urías is what
probably.
You're saying.
Sabathia was supposed to be a two-star pitcher, and he got moved to Sunday, so that's why I have him to begin with.
No, and I actually think Sabathia is underrated. Not that his numbers are underrated. He has pretty bad numbers, but there's kind of been this bad luck.
It happened again, Scott.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. This guy cannot catch a break, and he pitched pretty well against the Orioles, and he has pitched well against the Orioles all year, I think, and he faces them again this week. I actually don't think it's the worst start.
Well, they're pretty tough. I don't know that I'd be motivated to start Sabathia over any of the guys we've already talked about, but I do think maybe he's somebody who you could think about picking up maybe the following week. Maybe the next time he has two starts, if you're still alive at that point, because even for people who don't really buy the bad luck narrative, I mean, here's a number to back it up. He actually, according to StatCast, has the lowest exit velocity against of any starting pitcher, average exit velocity against. He's been getting hit the softest of any starting pitcher. And yet he has the numbers he does. And he's starting to create his own luck with the strikeout rate recently. I mean, a lot more strikeouts. Three of his last four starts have at least been quality starts. So I still think there's something to be had here with CeCe Sabathia.
And here's why you could start him this week if you're desperate and you could feel okay about it. Because, he's got three starts this year against the Orioles. They've all been pretty good. He was much better than the final line. He's got a 2.49 ERA in three starts against Baltimore. And they have the fourth lowest OPS in baseball against left-handed pitchers, which is why the Yankees moved Sabathia to Sunday to begin with. And they might not have Adam Jones because he's got a hamstring injury. I don't love it.
Yeah.
But you could be faced with that situation. Steven Matz could return on Thursday. Ooh, if he comes back on Thursday, are you going to start Steven Matz? He's supposed to come back.
I'd rather start DeGrom.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Will Myers did not start Sunday due to a stomach virus. Asdrubal Cabrera hurt his knee on Sunday, and he had been heating up. He had homered three times in the previous two games. Homer Bailey has biceps tendonitis, and boy, was he terrible for you last week.
Minus 25 in one of the leagues where I started him.
He's got to be the worst player of week 21, was it?
He may well be. He's the reason I lost.
Yeah, that's such
if
a tough
I started
week.
Nobody, I would have won.
Oh, Adam Eaton, day-to-day with a bruised forearm.
How close are most head-to-head matchups? They're within 25 points, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down by 5 points in the podcast league after 1 week, so...
Yeah.
They're all close. That would have been pretty... I think I actually went against Homer Bailey, so thank you, Homer. Adam Eaton day-to-day. Blake Snell expected to make his next start. He got hit by a comebacker. I don't know if you want to start Blake Snell. He's been pretty smelly lately.
Also a fitting autocorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're in a deep league, Ronald Torres is playing ahead of Chase Headley right now, AL only. Adam Jones, hamstring. Hunter Pence, hamstring. You're going to have to check on them. And Gene Segura was out with an illness. Can you guys foresee any bullpen changes with the following players? Ken Giles. Daniel Hudson, is he the closer now for Arizona? Sam Dyson. Brandon Maurer and the Marlins.
Could I foresee one? I could foresee one probably in any of the ones you just named here. I think the most likely are Ramos regaining the role in Miami and Kevin Quackenbush overtaking Brandon Maurer in San Diego, which wouldn't be particularly exciting because they're getting so few save opportunities right now. Arizona is a complete mess. Daniel Hudson blew his first save chance since being unofficially promoted to that role, but they really don't have anyone else. And Giles, I don't know. I feel like Giles is still pretty safe, even if he has been shaky since claiming the role.
One closer situation I do think could change as early as this week is I'm not sure how much longer Kelvin Herrera's got. Wade Davis progressing at AAA in his rehab assignment. He's going to be back anytime now.
Do you think he would immediately be the closer, or would they kind of ease him in?
I think he will be immediately be the closer.
Yeah.
Oh, is that annoying? That annoys me because I've been relying on Kelvin Herrera.
And he's been good. Been great.
Of course. No surprise. I think Texas is really worth watching. Sam Dyson is just struggling. Three times in his last four appearances, he's allowed multiple base runners. And Matt Bush has pitched the eighth inning in each of the last two Dyson saves. I don't know if Jeffress was around for both of them. I know he wasn't for the most recent. But yeah, Bush is good.
Yeah, he is. I mean, Jeffress is pretty good himself. Dyson is pretty good. So I don't know. It's kind of messy because do we know when exactly Jeffress is going to be back in the picture?
No.
That's why I'm kind of afraid to really even touch this situation. Obviously, AL only is a different story. They all should probably be owned. But in a mixed league, I'd be going after Jim Johnson probably before I was speculating on who might replace Dyson.
By the way, Fernando Salas has three saves since August 16th. That's not bad. 2 weeks, three saves. Any interest there for the Angels?
Pretty much bottom of the barrel. I think maybe the Diamondbacks and Reds situations are worse, but that's it.
The Indian situation might be worse.
No.
If you needed saves, I don't even know how realistic this is, because if you need saves, it's likely that Fernando Salas is owned. Would you drop Andrew Miller for Fernando Salas?
No.
No.
I think even if Allen and Miller split 50-50 rest of season, I give them both a pretty good chance of out-saving Salas, even though Salas has been...
I think that's a little bit...
I don't know.
Like, I think scoring more points, I would agree with that. But getting more saves...
It'd be pretty close.
I don't know that I expect the Indians to win twice as many games as the Angels by three runs or less in 30 games.
I also don't know what gives you the idea that it would be a 50-50 split. I feel like Allen has had more than that.
I'm just saying, even in the most unfavorable scenario for fantasy purposes.
Well, that's not the most unfavorable for Miller, though. The most unfavorable for Miller is he continues getting 30%.
Okay.
Yeah. They both pitched in non-save situations this weekend, by the way, in Cleveland. All right, let's play start or sit. Would you start the following guys? Andrew McCutchen, is he back? We starting him all the time now?
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know that he's back, but we're starting him all the time. He asked two questions there.
Yeah, he's back to being a guy you're starting.
Yes.
Will Myers, whoo, he's been terrible. Three at Atlanta, three at the Dodgers. Pretty good matchups this week. Start or sit, Will Myers.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start him still.
I'm probably starting him just because the matchups are good.
Let's go to the Uptons. Melvin Upton, three at Baltimore, three at Tampa Bay. Pretty good matchups for Melvin. And Justin, yeah, I would say also pretty good matchup, especially James Shields. They're both been very good lately. Are you starting both Uptons this week?
Justin for sure, just because he's on. When he gets hot, there's nothing like it. But Melvin, probably it'd be a scenario where I was looking to make up ground and steals in a roto league. That's all I could see.
I was going to say, looking at this list of players that we're going to cover, I'm the least likely to start Melvin Upton.
Okay, would you start a five-game A.J. Pollock? Who, by the way, we get this report that he's going to play two out of three games. He's played all three games, right?
Yeah. So I don't know what to think about his playing time anymore. But five-game week, I mean... There's some built-in rest there, right?
Right. I feel like he'll play all five, and three of them are at Coors Field. Would you start A.J. Pollock or Melvin Upton?
Pollock.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I don't know that Pollock's must start, but in that scenario, yes. I think maybe must start in a five outfielder league.
I think the more interesting question is Pollock or Justin Upton.
Yeah, and in that case, I'd go Justin.
Heath?
I might go Pollock.
Two steals yesterday for AJ Pollock.
Yeah.
Those Coors games are just so valuable. That's almost like a game and a half.
But it's just that kernel of doubt that he might not play even four games this week.
Right.
And that could ruin you. So. Yeah.
Okay, Chris Davis, six games. He's back, right? We're starting
Must
Chris Davis.
Must start.
Yeah. Mike Napoli, ice cold. Pretty good matchups. Got Jose Fernandez on there. Kohler, Cashner. The Marlins guys aren't bad. The Angels guys, a little different. Or wait, no, the Twins guys.
Yeah. Either way.
I think Napoli's pretty much must start. There is a league where I'm deciding between him and Pujols every week. And I'm going to go Pujols this week, but
yeah, I said Upton was the guy I'd probably be the least likely to start. Napoli would be right above him on this list, so I'd start anybody else on this list above him.
And Xander Bogaerts, you guys are cool starting him. I'm looking shortstop so deep. You got Addison Russell, maybe people are starting. I don't know. Jerko, is he shortstop eligible?
There's no way. Yes, he is. But there's no way I'd bench Bogaerts for Jerko. And I know I think this was something Chris and I talked about on the show he hosted last week.
Yep.
How much Bogaerts' production has fallen in the last couple months.
So why would you keep riding him? I mean, look, if it's Jerko, I understand. But if you had a replacement you liked, you still consider Bogaerts must start. It's been a really long, bad stretch for him.
Bad relative to where he was early on. It's not like he's just been a bad shortstop. And obviously... I mean, there's something to be said for playing the hot hand, but at the same time, you're still counting on future production. You're not counting on past production. So, I mean, Bogaerts is just a different class of player from Jerko. It's not even close.
I can't think of anybody that's going to be that I'm starting over Xander Bogaerts that might be available or that's been sitting on my bench.
All right, he did have a very good weekend, and he finished with 27 fantasy points this past week, but that is more than his previous 3 weeks combined. He had 21 fantasy points in the previous 3 weeks combined. He was pretty darn cold.
Yeah.
If you stuck with him, you were rewarded, though. He beat up on that lousy Royals pitching.
That's the thing, though. I mean, I do think he kind of created a false expectation by batting 340, whatever it was, over those first few months. And it was, you know, you could tell from the BABIP he wasn't going to do that all season. But at the same time, every player, no matter how high-end, goes cold for a stretch. And this is the time of year where it's hardest to just trust in the track record, but it's still, for those highest-end players, it's still the most sensible thing to do. And if you lose with them, I mean, at least you can at least tell yourself you ran your best lineup out there.
Okay. Some more hitters. You know, I talked last week, Scott, about Gary Sanchez with you. And I mentioned that he had joined Shelly Duncan in Yankees history for most home runs in a certain amount of games.
So those negative comparisons are suddenly looking much more positive, aren't they?
Well, I mean, he's the fastest ever to hit 11 home runs. So
yeah, that's the thing. But that Shelly Duncan thing wasn't the first I'd heard. I'd seen a comparison. They were comparing what Sanchez did in his first whatever to what Jesus Montero did in his first whatever. And Montero's was better. And, you know, people keep trying to make these comparisons over a small sample size to kind of talk down Gary Sanchez. But now he is the first rookie to have 11 home runs in a single month since Ryan Braun, and the first AL rookie to do it in a single month since Mark McGwire. So you're getting into company now that you really can't argue against.
Yeah, and Heath, you haven't weighed in on Gary Sanchez. What do you think about him? We'll talk about him going into next year.
Well, somebody asked me where I'd rank him going into next year, and of course I'm not to that point where I'm ranking players, but I speculated it's probably going to be somewhere around sixth at the catcher position, maybe six or seven. I was the guy that was downplaying a lot of the Trevor Story hype those first 2 weeks of the season. I do think it's different at the catcher position, and it's different when I mean, one of the reasons that we guessed that Story be able to keep it up is because he plays at Coors Field. You could say the same thing for Sanchez with Yankee Stadium. There's reason to be every bit as excited as you want to be at him. Throw a little party.
No, I mean, it's cool for a Yankees fan, sure, but he's got better plate discipline than Trevor Story.
Right.
Which was your big argument against Story.
Right.
And I guess, Scott, you have Sanchez like a top three, four catcher, fourth next year?
Yes. So that's actually what I wanted to ask Keith. So obviously there's the big three of Posey, Lucroy, and Wilson Ramos.
Well, I don't know that what Ramos is so obvious for everyone. Like, for well, you buy in. I don't know that everybody
Yeah, I mean,
will.
His strikeout rate's so low.
He's slumping now, though, so.
Even if you can't count on him repeating the exact same line, I mean, there's just, he has so many strengths over the whole catcher pool that, I don't know. We'll ask Keith. Would Ramos be somebody you'd rank ahead of Sanchez?
Yeah, I think I'd put Ramos ahead of him. I would say, this is speculation at this point until we're actually setting rankings for 2017, but I'll probably have Salvador Perez ahead of him.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty down on Perez. He hit three home runs his last two games.
He did.
That was nice.
Yes, it was nice. You know who else hit three home runs in his last two games?
Who?
Scott Schebler.
Yeah. And Ryan Schimpf has been killing it too.
Ryan Schimpf, actually the seventh best second baseman in points league since the All-Star break. Which is, I was actually a little disappointed by. I thought he'd be even higher than that, considering he's got like a 980 OPS on the air.
Let's finish the Sanchez discussion here. Perez versus Sanchez. Scott, you like Sanchez better?
Yes. Sanchez, barring a complete collapse over the final, 4 or 5 weeks, he will be my number four catcher.
And Heath, at what point does Ned Yost just do permanent damage to Salvador Perez?
What do you mean?
I mean, okay, I know he hit three home runs in Fenway Park, but he is a terrible second half player 3 years in a row. Terrible.
Yeah. You can make that argument for fantasy purposes. I think for actual baseball purposes, a terrible Salvador Perez is better than backup catchers.
I think if you look at what he's done in the second half, each of the previous two seasons, he's basically a backup catcher.
Okay. I would say that there's probably,
not a backup catcher. So backup catchers are horrible, but he's a low end hitting catcher, but you know.
He's like, I can't think of the Phillies guy.
Cameron Rupp?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's probably a little better defensively than Cameron Rupp is.
Well, we're talking about
fantasy here.
Right. Well, what I just said was you can make that argument for fantasy, but there's no reason for Ned Yost to rest him because he's making the team better.
I was watching the corn dog commercial on TV. I didn't hear you.
I don't think this is probably going to change.
All right. So some hitters who are legit. We talked about, Schebler. We talked about Schimpf a little bit. Who else? You know, Gerardo Parra's been playing some first base against righties for Colorado. Tim Anderson is somebody that Heath picked up. Ryan Healy has the longest hitting streak in baseball. I think it's 14 games. Is anybody really jumping out at you guys?
I mean, Schimpf probably of the ones you listed off. And it's not just home runs with him. He's walking so much that I feel like he's definitely needs to be part of the mixed league discussion now. I think I'd actually prefer him over Jerko, provided you didn't need all the versatility Jerko provides.
This is Schimpf you're talking about?
Yes, Ryan Schimpf.
Okay.
So he would be my favorite of that group.
I have a hard time not getting interested in Healy whenever he's having success, because when you look at what he was doing in the minor leagues, and he didn't have the power last year, but he still had batting average, didn't strike out very much. I think he's a guy you at least consider in Roto.
Okay. Yeah, Ryan Healy getting it done right now.
All right, so a couple of hot hand plays, maybe in slightly shallower leagues than that. Denard Span.
Yeah.
Mr. Underrated still.
Yeah, I mean, he has 5 home runs in August, which is out of character. And I don't know that you could expect a ton of home runs from going forward, but he makes a lot of contact, steals some bases, at least gets doubles. He's the 9th ranked outfielder in points leagues in August. But you know who's even higher than 9th in August? Is Ender Inciarte, who has been Mr. Reliability, doesn't hit a lot of home runs, doesn't steal a lot of bases, so he's probably not really in the discussion in roto leagues, even though they go five outfielders deep. But I think he's a deserving third outfielder right now. If you're looking for a hot hand play, Braves have good matchups this week in points leagues, Ender and Ciarte.
Are there any teams, Scott, that have great matchups that our fantasy owners should know about?
Well, the Braves I know are in the top five. I can pull open my column from Friday, which is actually now I give a top 10 for sleeper hitters for the upcoming week. But I also include the five best and worst matchups in there. And best matchups this week are the Rockies, full home schedule. Not going to find too many sleepers there, but they do have the best matchups.
Do you know their lefty-righty splits? Because maybe, I mean, if you're desperate, Gerardo Parra, if he's going to play first base against righties and he's got six home games, that'd be nice.
I could find it. I don't know it off the top of my head.
I can find it. You go ahead and continue your thoughts.
Dodgers are second. They have a series at Colorado. Braves are third. Nationals fourth. Blue Jays fifth. And some sleepers from there. I think Jason Wirth is undervalued consistently, but particularly when they have good matchups. Nick Markakis, kind of along the same lines as Ender and Ciarte, actually showing a little pop for the last 2.5 months or so. And that's Ciarte doesn't, of course. Devin Travis is only about 30% available. But not only do the Blue Jays have good matchups this week, he is about a 330 hitter on the road, believe it or not, and that's where they play all six of their games. So I think he's somebody you could look to at second base if you don't want to go as deep as like a Schimpf or a Jerko.
Well, I thought like one of the teams that I expected to hear you say that I didn't, and they must have been just outside of the top five, was the White Sox, because they face the Tigers, but they don't get Fulmer.
Yeah, they were sixth actually. And they were the odd team out.
And then they go to play Minnesota, who doesn't have any good pitchers. I think
maybe they face Santana.
Sorry, Irv.
Yeah.
Yeah, they play him four times, so I'm sure they face Irv.
Yeah. I do think Melky Cabrera is a decent sleeper from their lineup, the White Sox. If, you know, sleeper in more of the shallow league sense, because I think he's probably about 70% owned himself.
Man, I look at all these matchups, I see so many bad pitchers. You know, it's like, gosh, just looking at one of these teams. I mean, you didn't mention the Angels. They're facing Straley, Adelman, and Finnegan. All right, I guess it's not so bad. Ariel Miranda, Taiwan Walker, Asashi Iwakuma. It's like, that's just a random team I'm throwing out there. It's not like those are terrible matchups or anything. I just see a lot of bad pitchers. But the Rockies have only one lefty on the schedule. Five home games against righties potentially for Gerardo Parra. I don't know that he's going to start every game at first base, but it could happen. Also, Devin Travis, I would like to see him lead off. He hasn't been leading off since Bautista came back, but they haven't played too many games together due to injuries.
Yeah.
You've been eliminated from your league, huh? Ah, big deal. Who cares? You can keep playing. FanDuel.com never stops. As long as there's baseball, you can play fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. One-day contests, real money to be won, and contests start at just $1. So, get ready for fantasy football on FanDuel, which is even better than it was last year, but also keep playing your fantasy baseball. We love playing on FanDuel, because it's just a new twist on the regular seasonal fantasy we're used to playing. It's just as fun, but it's a different type of challenge, and you're going to love it. So why not play more fantasy baseball and do it on FanDuel.com? New users, enter your first league, win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code. It's HOMERUN. One word, no spaces, HOMERUN. All right, let's look at some pitchers, figure out who we want to start. Jeff Samardzija has been cruising along lately. At the Cubs this week, start or sit?
No. Sit.
Yeah, I'd rather not start him, but I'd rather not scan the waiver wire for a one-start sleeper to replace him either.
Yeah, so his last four starts, Samardzija's got a 1.75 ERA, but they've been at Miami and home against Pittsburgh, the Mets, and Atlanta. So, yeah.
So, like, I think I'd rather start Urias over him.
I absolutely would.
I wouldn't, but, you know, different strokes.
All right. Danny Salazar, home against Miami. Great start for Salazar, finally. But you know, it wasn't, because he didn't even pitch six innings. Is this what Danny Salazar does?
I mean, at least he got 10 strikeouts. I'm still calling this a success. And one thing the Indians said they changed was they weren't happy with his between start routine. They didn't feel like he was preparing himself adequately, and they took care of that. May have just been a coincidence, because obviously there was some rust coming off injury too. But either way, I think Salazar's pretty attractive start again.
Heath, how about Gio Gonzalez at the Phillies?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Tougher
one, Heath. Move on from Gio. Vince Velasquez. I think he's garbage, but he had a good start against the Mets. And now the Braves at home.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to start him against the Braves, right?
I don't know. I'm not as beholden to matchups as I think either of you guys are, because I wouldn't even start Gio. He's just been so unreliable. Vince, if you need to fill an RP spot, I could see getting behind that a little easier. But, you know, one good start in four, and it wasn't even a quality start. So
I think something we haven't discussed enough, because we seem to have this, not argument, but like there's this conflict between you and then Adam and I, where we think that these bad pitchers are more playable on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because at the beginning of the year, you were saying this is the year to load up on pitchers and drafts. And you just have much better pitching staffs than we do.
It's possible.
I think that has to be it, because the whole pitching sucks mantra doesn't seem to have affected Scott White as much as it has everyone else.
Let me say this. I've got three leagues right now out of my six that I'm still very invested in. Either I'm in the hunt, or I'm in the playoffs, or I'm about to be in the playoffs, or I'm fighting for second place in a roto league. And in two of those leagues, my pitching's pretty good, and I'm not really considering a lot of the guys. But in one of the leagues, the podcast league, my pitching's garbage, and I need to consider all of these guys. So look, I'm sure there are plenty of listeners out there. This isn't really a decision for you. You don't care. But for some of you, you have tough start sit decisions. You have to make a decision about Velasquez, and that's just the reality of it this year. I think a lot of teams got in the playoffs with bad pitching, and they have to make these calls.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the only reason why we're disagreeing, because I also said I'd take Samardzija over. Like, I'd rather start Samardzija than Gio Gonzalez. The fact that Gio Gonzalez finally had a quality start last time out doesn't mean I'm suddenly trusting in him again against the Phillies or any other team.
Well, but I'd rather start Arias probably over Gio. Would you rather? And Scott, would stick with Samardzija over Arias?
Probably, yeah. But I would also start Arias again. Part of the reason, maybe, too, is that I just think Gio Gonzalez is over-owned at 91%. I don't know what he's done to deserve that.
Nothing.
I
had a good stretch.
I don't disagree. I mean, he's sitting at 305 fantasy points on the year, and he's only got 9 wins. I don't think he's been as bad. He had a terrible stretch right before the All-Star break, and he had some really bad, once again, batted ball luck. But he's maybe 80%. He's been better than Adam Wainwright this year.
So you are agreeing he's overowned.
I was trying to give a concession that maybe he should only be 5 to 10% less owned, but I think that's about right. I think he's pretty close to should be owned in every league.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I feel like it's easy to make the comparison. It's easy for me to take Arias over Gio Gonzalez, because despite what their ownership percentages say, I think Gio Gonzalez is a pretty fringy mixed league option. Like, I could drop him next time out and not miss him, you know?
But you don't feel that way about Samardzija?
No, I don't.
See, I feel like you can only trust Samardzija at home. In fact, this, again, like I said, this four-game stretch has been three home starts, two of them against really bad lineups, and a start at Miami, and now he's at the Cubs. I want nothing to do with Samardzija in this matchup.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Heath, you're kind of feeling that, right?
Yeah, there's no way I'm starting Jeff Samardzija. I mean, if he was facing the Cubs at home, I still wouldn't feel great about it, because it's the Cubs. But the Cubs in that park, maybe if you knew in advance, if it was a daily lineup changes deal, and you could see that on that day the wind was blowing in, then it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. But without that situation, that's just a terrible situation for Samardzija.
I'll take a two-star Kohler over him still, Just throwing that out there. Just adding bringing in additional context.
Okay, that works. Now, we're not starting Drew Smyly at Boston, right?
Correct.
Rather not.
What about Di Sclafani coming off a complete game shutout against the St. Louis this week?
Absolutely. I think that's a good start. He's been so reliable.
Would you consider sitting any of the following? Michael Fulmer at Kansas City, Carlos Carrasco against Miami, Steven Wright against Tampa Bay, or Marcus Stroman at Tampa Bay?
I could definitely see not starting Steven Wright.
I'm actually okay with Wright.
The pixie dust. There is none.
I feel like because most of the damage he allowed in this last start came in on a three-run homer in the first inning.
All of it came in the first. Did you hear the excuse this time?
Yeah, I did. He was too amped up coming off the DL. He was overthrowing. And once he got past that yucky first inning, he was fine. So
we're just going on two months of
I know, but there's always a good reason. It's kind of like CC Sabathia, except there's more success on the front end to back it up. I don't know. I don't feel like Kansas City's it's Kansas City.
No, right? It's Tampa Bay.
Oh, that's even better. It's a great matchup. I'd take him over. I'd take him over Samardzija, Gio, Velasquez. Not a two-star Kohler, but pretty close.
I would start him over Samardzija, but that's probably the only one in that group.
Now, Dylan Bundy had a bad start over the weekend, but it was not as bad as the numbers. There was a double steal. It should have been the third out of the inning. It wasn't. They botched the play at home. Ended up costing Bundy two runs. So he didn't pitch well. He did not pitch well, but he didn't pitch as poorly as the numbers. And he faces the Yankees again. So he's at home against the Yankees. Jason Hamill gets the Giants. He's coming off two bad starts. Yordano Ventura gets Detroit, who he's got a 1.82 ERA and almost a strikeout per inning in four starts this year against. And Irvin Santana will try to bounce back against the White Sox. Bundy, Hamill, Yordano, and Santana, are you sitting any of them?
Maybe. I mean, it depends what I have. I don't think any of them are must start. I think probably Santana is the closest. Hamill is probably the scariest, but also has the most upside. And
these are all borderline guys.
Yeah,
maybe it would make more sense just to rank them.
Sure.
Okay. I will go in terms of startability this week. I will go Santana, Bundy, Hamill, Ventura.
Okay. Now I don't want to rank them. I'm going to put Bundy at the top, and then Santana, Ventura, Hamill.
Okay, fringy starting pitchers, part one. We're running out of time here, so I think you got to start Gausman this week. He absolutely owns the Yankees. He's given up three earned runs in four starts. Just dominated them on Sunday, faces them again.
Yeah, a lot of strikeouts recently. Too many hits, but whatever.
Carlos Rodon at Minnesota. Everybody cool starting him?
Must start.
Oh, I'm not going to go that far, but yeah, I'd probably start him.
Jeremy Hellickson against
Atlanta.
Coming
from Scott, that's the same thing. We both said the same thing.
I mean, he does one thing well. Run prevention. That's what he does well, which is the best thing to do well. But I wish he did more well. I wish he pitched deeper. I wish he got more strikeouts. He doesn't, but whatever.
He's pretty close to a strikeout in innings still, isn't he?
In Rodon's good stretch, he's 26 strikeouts and 30 and two-thirds.
Okay. Yeah, it's like 7 points something per nine.
But only seven walks.
That's a positive development. For
right,
sure. I may well have Rodon on my breakouts list next year. It's not that I don't like him. I just, it's not as good as you guys are making him out to be.
We're not making him out to be that good. It just, if he's available in any of my leagues, I am 100% picking him up.
He's just called a must start. Like
he faces the Twins.
He is a must start.
Quintana
right
or something.
Who's not starting? You got to have a very good staff to not start.
He's
Rodon.
Only 77% owned.
Because
so
people have stopped playing. People have stopped playing. That's why Gio Gonzalez is 91% owned.
Look at AJ Pollock's ownership percentage right now. Not that many people.
No, it went up way back. It went up before this great stretch for Rodon, I think. I mean, people have stopped playing.
As soon as reports were to come back, yes.
All right. Well, Rodon, I start. Hellickson against Atlanta, start or sit?
I'll start him. I really liked what he was doing before his last start. And, of course, good matchup.
Taijuan Walker against the Angels, start or sit?
Sit.
Yeah.
I don't know why Francisco Liriano is 66% owned.
People stopped paying attention.
They did.
That's fact.
David Phelps.
Your own argument.
At this point, 55% of people are paying attention?
I would imagine it's more than that.
I don't know. Not if the playoffs have started and like
at least 40% have been eliminated from the playoffs.
Well, not every league uses playoffs for one thing.
David like Phelps is at the Mets. Like start or sit?
Who?
David Phelps like at the Mets.
Phelps?
Sit.
Oh no, I think I'd start him. But the last start showed his fatal flaw, and if there's any bump in the road, they're going to pull him because he hasn't stretched out enough in their minds. He didn't allow a hit till the fourth inning in his most recent start and didn't make it through the fourth inning.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, I think we've covered... Tyler Skaggs. Tyler Skaggs is at Seattle. Start or sit?
I'm interested in owning him again, but I wouldn't start him yet.
Sit.
And Chad Green was another hot waiver wire guy. He's 39% owned. He's at Baltimore this week. Don't think you want to start him, but would you still want to own Chad Green?
It depends how much I needed to sparp.
Green or Skaggs?
Skaggs.
Skaggs.
Green or Sabathia?
Green.
All things being equal, I'll say Sabathia.
All righty. Guys, we owe it to our listeners to read some emails here.
We don't owe them, Jack.
Oh, we do. Oh. All right. All right, let's see what we got. I'm going to do these, apologize, but sort of on the fly here. Where are you? Okay, baseball emails. Let's do this. Of course, somebody wrote an email that said Simeon value. I put it in the baseball folder. It was really about Trevor Siemian, so that's a football email. We won't read it. AJ Pollock or Brandon Moss this week? Pollock 5 games, Moss 6 games, all against righties. Head-to-head points. Who would you rather have? This is from Brian. Pollock or Moss?
Yeah, I think I'd actually lean Moss. He's in my top 10 sleeper hitters for this week.
I'm going to go Pollock.
Omar in Buffalo wants to know if he should start Sean Manaea at Houston.
I don't think so. I don't think Manaea is a one-start guy, period.
All right.
Yeah, I'd put him in the Samardzija range.
This is from Sean. Would you drop Aaron Judge in a 10-team roto league?
Sure.
Hey, easy. Four.
Gladly.
10 teams.
Yeah. These options aren't great. Nomar Mazara or Randall Grichuk?
Those options aren't great.
Those are bad options.
And yet I still think I'd rather have Grichuk.
Yeah, you could play the hot hand there. Ryan Peters wants to know who you would drop for Pollock. Adam Eaton, Hanley Ramirez, David Dahl, or Jake Lamb?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe. Lamb has struggled, but I feel like he's come out of it a little bit.
Do you have anybody else you could drop?
He doesn't.
Like, how are those the worst players on your team?
He's in the playoffs,
stop
man.
Stop paying attention. Lamb only starts against righties now, so depending on your third base situation, I could see that. I think it's a shallow enough league you could justify dropping Eaton, but or Hanley for that matter. But I don't think.
It's a keeper league, by the way.
I'd probably drop Hanley.
Keeper league? I wouldn't want to drop Lamb. Lamb got hurt.
You gotta go
a month
get Pollock
ago.
If it's a keeper league.
What?
Well, it depends how many players you're keeping,
yeah,
of
I
course.
Don't know.
I mean, Lamb's probably like a ninth rounder at the earliest next year. But Pollock would be a probable keeper. So you have to drop somebody for him. Eileen, Eaton, Heath leans, Hanley. You could think about Lamb.
Peter wants to know if you would start Brandon Moss over Pujols, Abreu, or Chris Davis with a K.
Brandon Moss for Pujols, Abreu, I don't think so. No, I think I like all those more with Abreu on the kind of run he is right now.
Yeah.
Even Chris Davis with a K?
Oh, Chris Davis, for being an all-or-nothing hitter, he's surprisingly reliable.
Yeah. Okay, this is from Nick. Which of these pitchers would you recommend in a 14-team points league? Ivan Nova, Eduardo Rodriguez, Zach Greinke, Foltynewicz, Gausman, or Tyone?
Wow, that's all over the map. Who sent this email?
Nick.
We're supposed to pick one out of that group?
You can pick two. Tyone, it's probably going to come down to Greinke, Tyone, or Gausman.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're obviously starting Greinke. And Tyone would be my second choice.
I really need Greinke to have like two more bad starts.
Why?
Because Felix is only 30 points behind him now in points leagues.
Was that a bold prediction?
That was one of my bold predictions. I need Felix to catch Greinke.
That would be backing into a bold prediction, I think is what you'd call that.
Here's one more AJ Pollock question from Sean. He says, "Hey, John, Don, and Juan." Is that just names that rhyme?
Sean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's from Sean, right. "When the Pollock owner dropped him earlier in the season, I scooped him up, kept him in my DL spot. I got Trout at center field. I've been playing Billy Hamilton at utility. I picked up Trey Turner, too. I have Carpenter and Seager. I need to play two of the three." So, all right, here's the question. Sorry. "Would Turner and Pollock provide enough speed to keep Billy Hamilton on my bench? And if so, should I play Carpenter or Seager at third base?"
I'm guessing they probably would. And, if it means sitting both Carpenter and Seager, is that what it means?
No.
Sitting both Carpenter and Seager?
No, he can, no.
These are two separate, completely unrelated questions. Okay. I would rather start Carpenter.
Yes. And I would sit Hamilton.
Oh, Hamilton. I'm going to ride with him this week, I think. But he had a bad week last week. I'm hoping he comes back strong. I
miss
him.
You probably don't
too.
Have those options to start over on, though, either.
What'd you say?
Yeah. That's kind of an exceptional case here that you could actually sit Hamilton.
Well, I could sit him for Adam Eaton, Addison Russell, or Logan Forsythe. I'm going to stick with Hamilton.
Yeah, I don't think I would. By the way, Trey Turner.
Awesome.
He is the number two second baseman since the All-Star break.
Wow.
In points leagues. In points leagues.
Yeah.
Can we do one more fun stat before we go?
Yeah.
What kind of odds could I have gotten at the beginning of the year on no Mets pitchers finishing in the top 15 starting pitchers in points? Because that's where we're at right now.
I don't know.
One.
Although I think Syndergaard maybe gets back in there. I think he's back.
Oh wow, that is hasty.
I don't
start,
actually
right?
know where he ranks.
He's like 18th.
Oh, okay, that could happen.
Oh, it could happen. Yeah.
No, it's two starts, Adam. Back
oh, it's
back,
two
hit, two hit starts. Yeah.
Okay, I apologize, Scott. Not hasty at all. Very measured. Good job.
Because two instead of one.
Yeah, two. It's different, right? It's different.
Yeah. Sure.
Double. All right, that's it for today's show. Thank you, guys. We're back tomorrow. This was fun. I love fantasy baseball right now. What awesome decisions we're making. Oh, so much stress, so much pressure.
You're going to hit the space bar and you're going to say, "I hate fantasy baseball."
False.
That's how this goes.
See you later.
You're phony.